From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Unlawful Use of the Law, the fifth in a series of studies in the Law of God. The text for this week's message is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. As Dr. Cairns is showing in this message, men in their sin and ignorance have perverted the right use of the law. Some have made it an excuse for sin. Others have sought salvation through their vain efforts to keep the law. Some sincere but misguided preachers have turned God's law into a burden which they seek to place on the backs of believers. A right understanding of the purpose of the law is essential for a clear understanding of the gospel. In the first place, it is unlawful to use the law of God as an excuse for sin. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in John chapter 21 and verse 12. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. In these words, the believer is invited to a holy nearness to Jesus. Come and dine implies the same table, the same meat. Aye, and sometimes it means to sit side by side and lean our head upon the Savior's bosom. It is being brought into the banqueting house where waves the banner of redeeming love. Come and dine gives us a vision of union with Jesus, because the only food that we can feast upon when we dine with Jesus is Himself. Oh, what union is this! It is a depth which reason cannot fathom, that we thus feed upon Jesus. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. It is also an invitation to enjoy fellowship with the saints. Christians may differ on a variety of points, but they have all one spiritual appetite. And if we cannot all feel alike, we can all feed alike on the bread of life sent down from heaven. At the table of fellowship with Jesus, we are one bread and one cup. As the loving cup goes round, we pledge one another heartily therein. Get nearer to Jesus, and you will find yourself linked more and more in spirit to all who are like yourself, supported by the same heavenly manna. If we were more near to Jesus, we should be more near to one another. We likewise see in these words the source of strength for every Christian. To look at Christ is to live, but for strength to serve Him, you must come and dine. We labor under much unnecessary weakness on account of neglecting this precept of the Master. We none of us need to put ourselves on low diet. On the contrary, we should fatten on the marrow and fatness of the gospel, that we may accumulate strength therein, and urge every power to its full tension in the Master's service. Thus, then, if you would realize nearness to Jesus, union with Jesus, love to His people, and strength from Jesus, come and dine with Him by faith.
My sin is great, my strength is weak, my path beset with snares. But Thou, O Christ, hast died for me.
My
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
In this passage, Paul the Apostle is not giving us a full theological exposition of the functions of the law. Rather, he is replying to some perversions that these vain janglers, these would-be teachers of the law, were disseminating in the church. And he makes four very telling points. First of all, he makes it clear that God directs his law against sinners. That's what the text is saying very clearly. Understand that this text is not saying that God in no way addresses his law to righteous or justified men. In other words, this text, which is always pulled in by antinomians, that's those who say that Christians have nothing to do with the law, This text does not support antinomianism. That is easily proved, but that easy proof will have to wait till another time. Otherwise, you'll be here a long time tonight. So I'm simply making the point, making the statement, should I say. This is not to be understood in bald terms that God does not address his law at any time to righteous men. For the moment, let me simply note that the main purpose of the law is to bear down upon sinners. That's the force of the verb that Paul uses when he's saying it's not made for a righteous man. The law is made to bear down upon sinners and not upon righteous men. It's the first point he makes. Second, he makes the point that what the law can do for sinners is very limited. Again, think of that verb, that it's not made for a righteous man. The idea is literally to lie upon, to lie as a burden upon. Now, the law can expose sin. Psalm 19:11 speaks in that great passage of the 19th Psalm, which is declaring the glories of God's law and his commandments and judgments, that says, "By them is thy servant warned." The law can expose sin. You find this in Romans 2:15, when the law is said to be written in the hearts of the Gentiles. Their conscience either bears witness to accuse them or to excuse them. The law is always going to expose sin. The law also may restrain sin. In Psalm 119, you have that great exposition of the law of God. And throughout the psalm, there are various equivalent expressions that are made to refer to God's holy law. And there he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see, God's law in the heart is a restraint to sin. Again, in the 19th Psalm, in the passage that's speaking of the glories of the law, the psalmist says, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins." This is one of the functions of God's law, to expose sin, to restrain from sin. And then, of course, the law may condemn man's sin. Paul writes this in Romans 3. "We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." That is the great cry of the law as it comes to men and women around the world. As it bears down upon them and exposes their sin, it raises the cry, "Guilty before God." And as Galatians 3 teaches, it brings them under the curse of God's wrath. So, there's really a limited number of things the law can do for sinners. We may therefore note Paul's third point, that in the light of all this, the law cannot save sinners. The law cannot deliver man from its own condemnation. This is clear in Romans 8 verse 3, where Paul is speaking of salvation, which is brought to us by Jesus Christ, and it says what the law could not do, namely save us, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he did it. What the law could not do, Jesus did. The law cannot save sinners. And that leads us to the fourth great point that Paul always makes concerning the law, and that is it shuts us up to the gospel as our only hope. And I was intrigued when I was studying this passage of Scripture, how Paul wove the gospel and an explicit description of the gospel right into his treatment of the law. Verse 8, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Verse 9, we know that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for all these sinners that he goes on to enumerate in verses 9 and 10. But notice at the end of verse 10, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The law is to bear down upon sinners of every kind, and particularly upon rejectors of or transgressors of the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. You see, the law is not the enemy of the gospel, properly understood. The law is meant to conduct us to the gospel. When the law exposes your sin, when the law puts restraints upon you and makes you feel like Paul, before he was saved, kicking against the pricks. When the law brings you under condemnation and thunders in your ear, you're a guilty sinner. You are guilty before God. You are under condemnation. The curse is suspended upon you. There is a gaping hell waiting to receive you. What is it doing? It is shutting you up to grace. It is making it impossible for you to look for salvation anywhere but in Christ. It is, therefore, leading you to the gospel. Now that is a lawful use of the law. That's how God intends us to use the law. Any deviation from these things is what Paul terms the unlawful use of the law. That's what I want us to think about tonight. The unlawful use of God's law. The law is good if. And Paul uses the if. There are various ways in which an if may be used in the New Testament. Paul uses the if and couches it in terms to convey the idea that the result of this supposition is contingent on circumstances. We're going to see if it actually is good. It's good in itself, but not every man who's using the law is using it well. It's not good in every pair of hands. He's saying we know it's good if a man use it lawfully, but it's only if it's used lawfully that it's good. If you use it unlawfully, it's an evil thing. Now, let's think of this. In this passage and in others, the apostle tells us how it is unlawful to use the word of God and the law of God. First, can I say that it is unlawful to use the law of God as an excuse for sin. Let me turn you back to the 7th chapter of Romans and verse 8. Let's read verse 7 to get the context. What shall we then say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, or simply all manner of lust. For without the law, sin was dead. Now, commentators are agreed that Paul is saying that when you understand the spirituality of the law, you feel how great your lust and your wickedness is. I have absolutely no argument with the truth of that statement. And it's in this chapter. But I think there's something else. Paul is not merely saying that when you understand the spirituality of the law, a subject we dealt with some weeks ago, you will see how great a sinner you are. That's inherent in what he's teaching in the chapter, but that's really not what he's saying in these words. Look at them again. Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me, it worked in me, all manner of lust. What does this mean, taking occasion? It's a very interesting expression. It means sin took the law as its point of departure. It means sin took the law as a fulcrum. You know what a fulcrum is. And how you would use a fulcrum to start moving something that otherwise you might find difficult to shift. Sin uses the law as a fulcrum. Or if you want it in the terms of military strategy, and this is not far from Paul's mind, because in this chapter, or this section, should I say, of the book of Romans, especially in the sixth chapter, there are overt references to military strategy when you're talking about the battle for holiness. In military terms, this is sin using the commandment as a base for its operations. Now, what is Paul saying here? He's saying that such is the innate wickedness of our hearts. Such is the filthy perversity of our nature, that we come to what the law of God says, thou shalt not, and we find that our sinful nature stirs up lust for the very thing that God says thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And immediately we fasten not on the law itself, but on the thing prohibited. And the old sinful nature begins to think upon the desirability of the thing prohibited, and to lust after it, and long after it, and run after it. How wicked, how vile is the sinful heart of man when he takes the good and the holy law of God and he uses God's law as a base of operation for sin. What an unholy, unlawful, wretched and wicked misuse of God's law.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.